as Christians when he says we must continue to live in obedience to his word. So obviously, we've never learned what he requires, and so that's a dangerous place. Verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Now, if there's something we don't do enough, we don't thank and praise him enough. That's something we definitely need to do. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 25. I want to cover all 25 verses in chapter 3. Just hit a few of those and those others. But this one, we have not been over this one. So in chapter 3, verses 1 through 25, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Now then, have you been raised to walk with new life with Christ? Or as he talks about here in this, were you baptized? Did you go down? Did you die with Christ? And did you rise to walk in a newness of life? Okay, if you have been baptized, and like I say, there's a few of us, we're not held down long enough. And so, since we were not held down long enough, some of us don't continue to walk and we get back into sin too easy. But it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now then, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. We do need to dwell on building our treasures in heaven more so, much more so than we do living on earth. I mean, we need to be walking in obedience to his word. We need to be talking about Jesus. We need to be loving him, serving him, and being a living example of who the king is. And then we're thinking more about heaven. And because I want to build my treasures in heaven, because everything, I can understand now what Paul says, everything on this earth is nothing but refuge to me. All I want to know now is Christ and him crucified. I mean, sooner or later on this earth, somebody's going to hurt you or let you down if you let them, right? I mean, you know, they're going to do whatever they can. That's why I tell Cheryl, we talk about this, somebody will do something to her. So I say, honey, forget it. You know, forget it. It ain't nothing. Just throw it away. But honey, I said, no, I ain't going there with you, girl. Just throw it away. Get rid of it. It don't mean nothing. It's something on this world, something on this earth. Forget it. You know, I don't care what anybody does. You know, you don't worry about the things of this earth. Because it's all going to pass away anyway, right? Somebody said, well, you know, that guy cheated me out of all that money, you know, and I was, hey, forget it. You know, let them have it. You know, don't worry about it. I'm going to take them to court. Forget it. You know, I wouldn't take nobody to court for nothing. You know, I don't care what they do. I said, there it is. Take it. You can have it. I don't want it anyway. Junk. If you want to go to court over that, go ahead. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Verse 3 and 4. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the way it's supposed to be. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. You know, the king's coming again soon. You know that? It ain't going to be long. I believe we're so close. I believe with all my heart that this generation that's alive today, which I believe includes me, you know, I may be older than some of you in here, but maybe not as old as some of you, but I'm up there pretty good. I've lived a while, but I believe I will be alive when the king comes again. Amen. I believe I will be here, and I believe it's close. When Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory, verse 5 and 6. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. What are these things? Have nothing to do with sexual sin. Isn't that amazing? That must have been a major problem back in this time, just like it is today. In other words, things haven't changed much over the last 2,000 years, have they? You think that people had sexual sin back in those days? Oh yeah, we can go all the way back to the beginning of time and we can see this. In fact, I was reading the book of Jasher the other day, and I read something in there. I was kind of amazed. It said the men, they found out some leaf or something, whatever it was. I forgot what it was it told. That they could feed their wives, and their wives wouldn't get pregnant. And I thought, well, why did they not want their wives to get pregnant? They said their wives, they wanted their wives to stay beautiful and slim and trim, and they didn't want their bodies to be stretched out of shape. They wanted their wives to be beautiful. So they fed them these leaves or whatever these was, so they could not conceive, so their bodies would stay beautiful. I thought, man, we're earthly all the time. It's amazing. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin and then impurity. Lust, shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. And God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. Now, here's something I want you to really see here. The church does not realize that God will do these kind of things to us. But here is one of the places where he says if you are involved in sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and shameful desires, or if you're greedy, God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. I think we forget what God's... We forget that God still is a God of judgment. And we don't understand why the church is sick and afflicted. We don't understand why we have all these problems. I'm going to tell you, every time something happens, in fact... I'm not sure I'll tell this story right. Cheryl may have to correct me. But she was having a garage sale for her mother's stuff the other day, and there was some lady walked in, and Pat was there with her, and they got to talking about the Lord or something, and this one lady said, well, I have a healing ministry. And Cheryl or Pat one said, well, you know, we know a man has a healing ministry. Maybe Cheryl said, my husband. And I said, my husband has a healing ministry also. Oh, and she said, oh. And then she said something about, well, you know, there's a very well-known man here in the Metroplex that has a healing ministry. But this well-known man goes around condemning people, saying that if they're sick, they got sin in their life. Guess who that man is? I thought, did you tell her it was that was your husband or what? she was a missionary from South Korea. Let me tell you, I'm not that well known yet, but there is a lot of people heard about me. I will have to say, the other night when we were in Plano, we were at a meeting and whenever with Mary Kay Baxter, and the pastor was leading that. He said, what's your name? I said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, I've heard of you. That's all he said. I don't know whether he heard good or bad, but he'd heard of me. At least he'd heard of me. So praise God. I want them to hear about me. I want them to know the Word of God. I love seeing God do the things He does. I love seeing Him do this. Does it say there, God's terrible anger will come upon those who do these things? You know, a man, it's just like I was talking to a woman the other day, and she said her husband died, I forget, 50 or 60 or whatever it was. And I said, was your husband ever involved in sexual immorality? She said, yes. And said, when my daughter found out about it, she was so upset with her daddy, and she made him promise he would never do such thing to mama again. Never would he cheat on her. And so said, he promised her he would never do such a thing. And he promised me too, he would never do it, she said. But she said a few years later, he messed up again. And I said, oh, and he died about 60, huh? She said, yeah. I said, and you see, she's probably 80 now. I said, you see, you're still alive. I said, he was judged by God. She said, I never thought about that. But what does it say there? Whose terrible anger is going to come upon all those who do such things? See, God made that man sick and killed him, and he didn't even, people are not smart enough to understand why the guy died so young. They never think about sin as what's killing them. I mean, we just don't think like that. We just don't get it. Okay, verses 7 and 8. You used to do them when your life was still part of the world. I mean, you know, everybody, well, not everybody, but most everybody has done some of these crazy things. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Now, these are all things that does not glorify God. I mean, these are things, that first list was pretty good up there, starting out with sexual immorality or sexual sin. But now we get down to things that now is the time to get rid of: anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Somebody said, well, I need God to help me do that. If you ask God to help you do this, you know what God's going to tell you? I have given you the power to stop it. I have already given you my power, and all you got to do is use my power, and you won't never have to use another word of profanity in your life. Can you do that? Sure you can. It's a choice you make. Just like every time you go to get angry with somebody, what can you do? Make a choice. Now then, what if you don't make the right choice? And what if you come down with something sick or afflicts you? Once you learn that God is the one doing this, you know, it depends on how hard He afflicts you. You know, I mean, just like the other day when I told y'all when I was grumbling and complaining and God shot me now with that 100-octane gas, you know, I haven't grumbled and complained since that day. It'd been real easy for me not to grumble and complain. I have not grumbled and complained. As far as I know, I mean, I was grumbling and complaining that day, and I did it for several minutes or two or three different times. And boy, He hit me right in the eye with that 100-octane, and then He spoke to me and told me. He spoke to me and told me that's what He had done. He was judging me for my grumbling. He clearly told me, while I'm trying to get the gas out of mine, it's burning. He said, instead of grumbling and complaining about this airplane, you should have been praising me that I gave you this airplane. See, I could have said, but God, I provided the money. He said, no, that money comes from me. You didn't have a dime until I give it to you. Is that right? I'm the one who gave you that airplane, and you should have been praising me for the knowledge to fly that airplane. You should have been praising me that you got two eyes where you can see to fly that airplane. You got two ears where you can hear, to hear the engine run. You should have been praising me instead of grumbling and complaining. Well, let me tell you, He got my attention. I ain't grumbling no more, Jack. It's when you begin to understand that God's the one doing these things, whenever you do something wrong and He zaps you, you realize you're just like that kid that got that spanking, right?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, It's All About Christ, Not You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.